Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God that's able to save our souls. Right now, God, we commit this time to you for you to bless our minds, to understand your word, walk therein, be changed thereby into the image of your son, that we might have fellowship with you through him. God, let this spoken word just embed itself in our souls, God. Let it take hold on us. Let it be alive and change us into another kind of person, that we can move out into another realm to experience the things of God and not just talk about them. God, bind the devil, bind the fallen angels, bind the demons, render them helpless and inoperative as we enter into this engrafted word that's able to save our souls. God, move in a supernatural way to move your people on to a higher place in their minds. And God, we thank you for it, God, that you've given us a pathway of escape away from this present evil world. God, we give you the praise, the honor, and glory for doing this for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're talking about what's wrong with church people. What is wrong with church people? First of all, we have to acknowledge that something is wrong with church people. You can't be in church and be around anything that has a religious flavor to it and not understand that something is wrong with people. I mean, you take what you believe is the word of God, the engrafted truth that's able to save folks' souls. You tell it to people plainly, and you get 1,000 different reactions to it. And you're trying to figure out, what am I saying to you that is so volatile and so foreign that's causing all of these strange reactions? It's not that the truth is flawed that you're telling them. It's the reaction coming from the souls that have all these different parameters set up in them. Now, first of all, we have to understand something about a human being and the soul. A human being is nothing more than a living, walking, talking video machine. It's like a camera that has the ability to record video and audio. You are the sum total of everything you've recorded in your soul. Remember, you came into the world a blank canvas. You had no perceptions, no ideas. You could be born in America today to English-speaking parents and sent to Spain, and you would be programmed to learn Spanish, and you'd speak Spanish all by, it wouldn't be an effort toward it, it just happened to you. You wouldn't be in Spain, born in America and sent to Spain at a day old and still speaking English in Spain. You see what I'm saying? You have to be programmed to learn a language and speak a certain language and think a certain way. So whatever your environment was growing up, you were just an empty picture, and you were ingesting the data from the outside of you, and it was programming you with audio and video to see life from a particular point of view. So you became the sum total of what you were programmed to think like, programmed to look at life like, and you got all these pre-described notions about environments based on the program running in you. So that's inside. It's internal programming. So the gospel comes into your life, and now these internal programs have to be destroyed and removed. The Bible calls it a transformation of the mind. You think a certain way based on how you were programmed to think. You have a program that runs that tells you what's normal and what's not normal, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate. You see what I'm saying? Certain people don't know how to dress in certain environments because they have no program that tells them the propriety of things. You know, you see a guy in a pulpit in a t-shirt and a backwards cap preaching. He doesn't understand the royalty of Jesus, the royalty of God the Father. He doesn't understand being an ambassador for a kingdom that is regal. He doesn't understand the golden streets and the gates of pearl and the magnanimous magnitude of God. So they just slop around before God talking about, I just came like I am, and, you know, cool catting it with God, and God don't care about that. You don't know what God cares about if you don't know God. I mean, you ain't walking around living in the midst of gold and silver and everything that's brilliant and full of all this glamorous, elaborate stuff, and you come in like a bum. See, you don't know the propriety of God. You don't know what God is like. So you don't see yourself representing anybody that has any dignity, any royalty, no regal attributes, because I see God like I see me. See, I'm downgrading him to be like me. I'm not letting the Holy Ghost lift me up to see God in the magnitude of who and what he is. You see what I'm saying? So that's why you can look at a person and know they really don't know the Lord. You can just look at the outer countenance and tell they don't know him, because they have no respect for him. Very few people in church understand the command authority of God, the dictates of God, how he sits on the throne and he gives dictates and commands from that throne to be obeyed. They don't understand the magnitude of the angelic host, Michael the archangel, Gabriel, angels at their command, how they sit in battle array and how they're always fine-tuned to obey God, and everything is running like a clock in heaven. But we come in cool, casual, hey, you know, giving God high five, talking about, hey, what's happening, God, cool, casual with God, God's my bro. God ain't your bro.
That's right.
But see, this is what we got going on. It's almost like people who have had no home training. You ever seen people coming into a place with no home training, how they come in?
Yes.
And then they're walking in like, you know, we on top of our game with no home training. Y'all just squares. And everybody's saying, who let them in? You know, don't know how to say please and thank you. You know, eating their salad with a knife and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Yeah, with a hand, you know. Hey, man, when you don't use a fork, man, this is good enough, bro. When you're like that, you can't really matriculate through the kingdom of God because you don't know God. So that means all this junk inside has to be expunged so we can get another image in us that's compatible with God. I'm going to show you this now, how it works. Look over at Genesis chapter 1. It's amazing to me. It happens all the time, but it's very amazing that I can go to Genesis chapter 1 and then I get responses back from inputs from people who hear these messages that tell me they never heard this, and I haven't even got out of Genesis chapter 1. And imagine this now. I'm in Genesis chapter 1, and a person has never heard anything from Genesis, and you can't even get out of chapter 1 of the Bible. First book, first chapter, and I've never understood or heard this before. So this is where we're at right now. We got to deconstruct all of this stuff that we think people know and we take for granted. Never take for granted that people know things, because a lot of times they don't. After sitting in church for 30, 40 years, you can be in church for 30 or 40 years and be ignorant. Ignorance is not a bad word. You call somebody ignorant and they get mad at you. All ignorance means is I don't know. See, if you haven't been told, how could you know unless you study to show yourself approved yourself? And you got to understand, the vast majority of church people don't study to show themselves approved. They take what somebody tells them from the pulpit as the gospel truth. And that's going to be detrimental to you in the long run, man. You better go study this thing for yourself. So you go to Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 26. And God said, now that word for God is the word Elohim. Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. Elohim shows plurality. Whenever you hear any Hebrew word with an I-M on it, an I-M is just like an S in our language. It indicates what? Plurality. So Elohim, meaning that there's more than one person there. This is plurality. God, Elohim, said, let us make man, how? In our image. Now again, our indicates plurality. God said, let us make man in our image, Elohim. And the reason why the our is there, because it's referencing the fact that Elohim is plural. So it's like three people standing there that make up the Godhead, and they're determined to make a man in their image. Now, this is very important right here. Unless you have this as the basis for your Christianity, knowing what God made at first, you won't understand what he's trying to redo through you being born again. If he made us in his image, he's after the restoration of the image he made. That's what the battle is about. The devil does not want the image of God returned to you. That's what he's after. He's after your sonship. He does not want you to know that you're the son of God and you're part of a lineage. You're God's son. You're a child of God. I'm engrafted into the kingdom as a member of a family. That's what the devil does not want you to know. He wants you to do a bunch of junk and perform and run around and try stuff and do stuff, but man never come to terms with the fact that you are God's offspring. Now, the image of the Creator can be seen in just the practical parts of life. All you have to do is look at a father and a son, and you'll see that the image transfers from the father to the son. Shonda was just saying, you know, Christian is really Damon's child because he looked just like him. Well, that's because he carries the genetic makeup of his father. Now, he's going to still have some attributes of his mother, hands or feet or toenails or something, because there's a mixing of the gene pool when you get conception. But see how a father can transfer his image to a child. That's exactly what God just did. He's creating his child after his image so that his child can do what? Relate to him. So the image is relating back to the father because the image is right. If you skew the image, you know what God's going to become to you? Foreign. That's what's wrong with church people. God is foreign to them, not because God changed, but the image in man changed. That's what Satan did when he interrupted the communion with God and man. He got in and he marred the image. So God became foreign and Satan became normal. Now, it's more normal to walk with Satan than it is to walk with God as long as you have a carnal mind. What did the image being skewed do? It made your mind detached from your spirit, communing with God, and it moved your mind from conscious awareness of your spirit to being consciously aware of yourself. That's why they immediately knew what? I'm naked. They became self-conscious. That's the devil's playground now, buddy. Because what he's going to do is this. On the horizontal plane, you know what he's going to begin to do? Think about the logic of it now. He moved you from the spirit to the flesh in the carnal mind, activating. So what's he going to do now on the horizontal? Huh? He's going to give you another image. Now you've opened up your five senses for the devil to begin to replace the image of God with an image of himself. That's why Jesus said, your father is the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He's recreated you in his image. So now Jesus walks up and Jesus is foreign to them. He's the strange one. Because me, sitting here in the devil's image, can't relate to Jesus Christ. And that's the thing you see in people when you're really born again. It's the image you bear in the invisible realm that makes you strange to them. What they believe, what they're concerned about, what they talk about, what they love and what they like has no bearing on you because of the image within you, which is a heavenly image. I'm telling you the disparity between church folk and saints. Church folk can't relate to saints. They're just church folks. They still have the image of Satan born out in their souls, and they put the image of Satan in church. And they go through rituals of preaching and singing in the choir. And I'm a deacon and I'm actually being trained to be a minister. And I'm just going to be made twofold the child of hell, the Bible says. It's the image. It's the image. I'm going to show you how images are formed up in human beings. This thing is real. God said, let us make man in our image and after our what? So not only do you have the image of God, you are like God. You act like God. Our likeness. They are like us. Whatever God is like, when God created man, that man was like God. So he showed forth what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith, because he was like God. The attributes of the Holy Spirit talked about in Galatians chapter 5, those attributes are what makes us like God. God has those same attributes. The Bible tells you God is love. So love is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a likeness of God born out in us. So we have the image of God and the likeness of God in the human persona. We are just like him because they, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, made us like them. That's why when you see people talking about God as one, that's not true. God is triune. Man's image that makes him like God is triune, spirit, soul, and body. We're triune beings. Body, housing a spirit that has a soul. So I have a body. I use my soul. I am a spirit. So my spirit should be the one that commands this tabernacle. My spirit commands my soul and my body does. See, but if you become soulless, what's going to happen? Your spirit's going to be held captive, bound by the appetites of the soul. So I'm going to begin to enjoy this world and Satan's kingdom at the expense of my spiritual life. This is why you were sinking into depravity in the world. You were a spirit. You are a spirit. That's the very essence of who you are, your life type. So here you are chained up inside of yourself by these invading entities that have taken hold of the tabernacle, and they're driving your appetites. The Bible calls them fleshly lust. And the devil's stimulating that part of you so he can express himself through you. And the demons actually feed off of the human by using the human's ability to intake from the environment to feed themselves. Basically, you're nothing but somebody that has experienced what that old movie talked about, an invasion of a body snatcher. You ever seen that movie? These parts came from outer space and they broke open, and then the aliens were able to get into a human, put the human into a coma, and then they grow another human that looked like the old human if the first human died. And they took the human's body over. That's what the devil does. He's a body snatcher. He comes in. He uses your five senses to feed and gratify himself. It's like if you had this thing living in you, this you and you as a feeding farms. It's using you to feed off of. It's living off of you. And that's terrible. A leech. A parasite. Living off of you. Now remember now, for that thing to live off of you, since they're all degraded and depraved, you've got to be dying inside, because the depravity of their appetites is making you sink into deeper levels of filth, degradation, and dehumanization. You're becoming this thing at the expense of this thing living off of you. He has an appetite for all this filth, all this gutter rot, perversion, pornography. I mean, all these demeaning and degrading things that it wants to do. And as long as you don't have the power to resist it, it will drive you like a brand new car around to feed itself. Go look at the pornography. And then the appetites and impulses, since it's stronger than you, it dominates you to go to the computer screen. So it feeds through your eye gates and your ear gates to hear the sounds of the sexual perversion and look at it, and it's just drinking it down. And guess what it's doing while it's drinking it down? It's getting stronger. You feed anything, it's going to get stronger in you. And now you got a strong man and you got a stronghold, and he's living in a fortress. That joker just built himself an image that he can live in and live through. Remember now, the image houses the spirit. Before God put a spirit in man, what did he do first? He forged man out of the dust of the ground. He made the image first. Then he breathed the spirit into it. That gives you a revelation now. Spirits live in images. You got to have an image for a spirit to live in it, whether it be the Holy Ghost or a demon spirit. Without an image, it has no residence. So everything in your life was designed for the devil to do what first? Forge out an image in you for that spirit to now inhabit. I'm telling you things now that they won't tell you in church, basically because they don't know. Now God says through Daniel, he says what? In the latter days, knowledge will increase. He's given us the revelation of what happened behind the scenes, so you'll have more powerful weapons to fight it. If you're going to deconstruct the devil's kingdom, it's good to know what the kingdom is made of. You're going to know now where the devil has set up house, so I can go in there and spoil the house. I can destroy the fortresses because now I understand what he really did to me and what he's doing to others. Everything you see that looks like just something to gratify flesh and have a good time, no, man, the crack and the dope and the drinking and all that stuff is fortifying and building an image and feeding that strong man so his house is becoming fortified. Every new active participation in sin is inviting in what? Another entity. Because what's he doing? I got the big house built. Now I'm getting ready to build myself a network of bunkers around me with little houses. And every house going to have what in it? An entity to do what? Protect the strong man. I'm protecting. I got a nest built. I got a network built up inside of a human. Now I'm setting up my guard system to guard the strong man. The first demon in is the primary spirit, and he sets up the stronghold, and then he goes to work to have you participate in other sins. Now you've tried this, and that got in. And that, he built himself a network. And now he got this conclave of interwoven entities to protect him. That's why when you begin to deal with deliverance, deliverance is progressive because you're dealing with the smaller spirits first, and you're working your way through principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. It's a hierarchy. Some people house heavyweights. Usually when they house a heavyweight and he's the strong man, you see them become billionaires and rich, and you see them famous in the world. Jay-Z has a strong man, possibly a fallen angel in him, because he solicits the worship of the smaller entities in the people. Beyonce has got a strong, strong man, and the whole world follows after the beast. See, what happens is when you got a higher level entity in you, you're going to get wealthy, filthy rich. Ask T.D. Jakes what he's got living in him. That's a religious strong man. You make more money. You're put in the mainstream. He exposes you to more people the devil does. Why? He can trust you because the network in you is totally what? Submissive to him. He has the ability to control you. What I'm saying right now offends religious people. Why? Because they got religious demons and strong men in them. See, I'm talking against their folks. They have respect the persons. I'm like Trump talking to the media right now. You got fake news. He's talking to a room of people in the media telling them they're all fake. You don't think they're offended? They can't afford to say anything because this is the president and I can't just speak up and say. But if they could, they'd be cursing him out and slapping him. That's what happens when you do what? When you're part of a tribe. Everybody on earth is tribal. Everybody. That's why the Bible talks about saving every tongue, tribe, and nation. You got a tribe. You might be the homosexual tribe, the lesbian tribe, the oral sex tribe, the sodomite tribe, the perverse tribe, the porno tribe, Buddy, you belong to a tribe. The diva tribe, the witchcraft working tribe. Everybody got a tribe based on what entities live in you and what you've yielded yourself to. Because you're letting in entities that get into images. How do they build the images? Eye gate, ear gate. Nose, feeling. Any sense can be used to engage some resource in the natural plane to ingest that which will build the image. So they're after the image of God. He made man in his image and after his likeness. And that's what the devil's after. He got to get rid of that image and that likeness because the Holy Ghost will fill that image. Now imagine a person that has divested themselves of every foreign demonic image and only has the image of Christ in them. And the Holy Ghost fills that person. You know what's going to happen then? You're going to walk through earth as a human dynamo. Invincible. You can arrive to a place of invincibility, but guess what? You better count the cost first. Can you take the hatred and the venom? Because you walk in the midst of demonically infested people that just by you walking in the door, they'll hate you. So until you embrace being hated, don't fool around with what I'm talking about. Just disregard. Go back to drinking your coffee. Get your Danish and turn on Joel Osteen. It's your best bet. Because you can't take the heat in the kitchen. If you really begin to seek God, seek the Lord Jesus Christ, pray for the Holy Ghost to come upon you and become singularly focused on Jesus Christ alone, if your eye be single, guess what? Your whole body will be full of light. You're going to be full of the Holy Ghost and power walking in the middle of a depraved, God-forsaken, demon-possessed world. And the hatred will be normal to you. You eat lunch alone. You spend time alone. And the mind should be reformatted not to need anything on the outside to validate you. Because I'm sustained by the dynamo from within. That's what you're after if you're really saved. Now, if you're just religious, you know what you're looking for? Conformity to the religious standards on the outside of you. You want the church to fit in, and you let the environment dictate to you as far as what's appropriate and what's not. If they tell you that we don't like that, you stop doing it. I don't stop doing anything. What does the Bible say? You're conforming to Christ, not religious institutions. Religious folks. What's wrong with religious folks? They operate on the outside trying to conform to the environment and belong and fit in still. That's what they carry from the world is excess baggage. All you did in the world was submit yourself to peer pressure and outside influences in order to belong to the devil's matrix. I can't take being ostracized and not fitting in. That's why they call Trump non-presidential. He's just a maverick, a wild man, a renegade. Because we have a prescribed way that you're supposed to act in the devil's matrix as the president. And now he's going out here having rallies and talking to the people. You're supposed to come in and conform to us. You're supposed to do what? Play ball. Why aren't you playing ball with us, man? Don't you know that's why they killed Jesus? The Pharisees and Sadducees were just telling Jesus one thing. You need to play ball with us, buddy. We run the religious thing. You can do what you do, the miracles and stuff, but don't come against us. What did he say? You vipers, you hypocrites, you whited sepulchres. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Now see, look. We're going to have to kill you. Why? Because Satan, our master, has a religious system set up that you are not conforming to. And if you keep this up, you know what's going to happen? You're going to set the people free. Free from what? Us, our control, and our money that the devil has promised us if we do what? If we govern these people and keep them under control. He does not want any mavericks. He doesn't want anybody breaking out. That's why I like that song, Spirit Break Out. Break these walls down. Spirit break out, heaven come down. Man, that's perfect. We need to see a breakout. Why do you think, man, we wrestle for a couple of dollars to get something as small as Dunamis Tabernacle set up? And these folk got billions of dollars flowing into Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses. It's conformity to the devil's image. And since we're foreign to the religious person's mind and the image in them, I'm not giving to that. They'll sit and watch. 1,300 people watched the broadcast last week. But since they're bound by religious spirits, all they can do is sit there with their hands chained together and watch. And just, that's true. That sure is true. That's a good word. Best they can do. Why? They're bound by the spirits within. The devil will let you sit around the fire, but buddy, don't get in the fire. Because you'll burn me up. I'm going to show you how fire is real in God's economy to get rid of the devil. That's real. If you don't understand what's going on, you won't understand why God does what he does. We're going to reveal and peel back behind the scenes in the spirit world what's really happening to you so you can finally just figure out why you do what you do and why it works like it does. We want to give you a revelation of God, not information about God. So you see now, he says, make him in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So you see now, that's very significant, dominion established. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Who's he referring to with a him? Spirit man. Male and female created he them. What's he talking about now? The physical body. So every person's spirit is generically the same. You have no gender in the spirit. Her spirit is just like mine, but it's in a female body. So God's command is, I put you in a female body, and now you conduct yourself appropriately for the body you've been assigned to. So you don't have to try to be a man because you're in a female body, and your spirit, once it conforms to God's image, will just finally come to terms, I'm in a female body. Now, what's my command to govern this body as a female? It's not comparative when I'm trying to be a man. No, I'm settling it with God. I'm in a female body. What's the dictates for me in a female body? I know my spirit is equal to a man, but I'm assigned to a female body, so I'll govern myself as such.
Amen.
That gets rid of the hassle. You know why? When the male and female come together, you have the complete image of God. When they're separated, you just diluted the image. If he put them in male and female bodies and everybody's bearing the image, you got to have then unity of both of those individuals to have the complete image. So what's the devil going to do? Pit male against female. What's he pit male against female for? To distort and destroy the image. You see how God started with the seed bed for the third person of the Godhead. Male and female come together, you get the third person of the Godhead, the Son, with a child being born. So what's the complete image of God? The family. Watch how it parallels God. God the Father is the head of the Godhead. God the Holy Ghost is the paraclete or the helpmeet of the Godhead. God the Son is the obedient member of the Godhead that does the will of the Father. It parallels the human family on earth. The man, the father, is the one in authority. The wife is the helpmeet, children in obedience. All the devil's after is the image. If you don't understand what he's after, you don't understand what we're fighting. You don't understand salvation. Salvation is the restoration of the image.
That's right.
Man, if you can process this, you're going to just leapfrog above a lot of church folk and religious stuff because you understand, oh, God is now basically frustrating what I'm doing because he wants the image of himself restored. And everything that's distracting me from the image, he's letting that thing just go away. If you thought you was all cute, then you might have to lose a leg to get the image back or something, so you won't be all into yourself no more. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. I'm after an image on the inside. That's why it's better to fall out of love with yourself real fast now. So you won't have to attack what you worship. Because he's after what? The inner man. This nasty flesh ain't going to heaven. It's reverting back to dust. He's after the inner man. The image. In the image of God created he him. The spirit man. That's the anchor. Then everything else falls in the line. The soul and your physical body falls in line with that image. See, everybody trying to do something to prove themselves in the natural, and they are actually thwarting the development of the image of God in them. Woman stomping around trying to be a pastor, trying to take over the church. Guess what? The image of God is going to be perverted in her because she's trying to do what a man should do. So I can't be a governed image of God in me in a female vessel because I'm so caught up in trying to be a man, I won't let God make me into his image. Because I can't govern a female body trying to be a man. The image does not compare with the body. You're walking around in the gym built like a muscle-bound, incredible Hulk as a woman. The image in you not lining up with the body. Because you're so mad at men, now you're becoming a man. Don't you know most of this stuff in church when women try to take over, it's because they hate men? So I'm going to take over and none of these jokes are going to tell me anything. God can use anybody. There's neither male nor female. That's what the Bible says in Genesis right here. There's neither male nor female in your spirit. That's what he's talking about in Galatians. But in the physical body, he tells you to conduct yourself appropriately according to the body you've been assigned to. And you can't settle that. You know why? You hate God. I hate what he put me in. I hate what he made me. I feel frustrated because I'm a woman wanting to be a man. And I hate the fact that I wasn't a man. So therefore, I can't love the creator and hate the creature. I hate what he made me, but I love God. I mean, you lied to yourself. I don't want to be the weaker vessel. Not the weaker person, the weaker vessel. Because you're created in the image of whom? The Holy Ghost. See, a woman is created in the image of the Holy Ghost. And that's supposed to be detrimental, that you don't like it. Notice how the Holy Ghost comes in the form of a dove. He's gentle, he's soft. He's not somebody that's really loud and boisterous and forceful. So what are you doing like that? Looking like John Wayne in those high heel shoes. Stomping around, trying to stomp somebody's guts in with the high heel shoes. What's wrong with you? Cursing like a dog. Notice how when you begin to pervert a woman, you begin to curse like a dog. F you, F in here, F you. F in this, F. Oh, wait a minute, hold up. That's the Holy Ghost talking. That's the Holy Ghost? What about the femininity? What about the chaste and virtuous part of you? What about the part of you that's really sublime and tender and caring and loving? You know, you don't tell me. I'm not weak. I'm an alpha woman. An alpha dog. Don't they pull sleds in the Arctic or something? The alpha dog. You ever seen that movie? The alpha, yeah, snow dogs. They're the snow dogs, you know. The alpha dog with that real mean when they call it. They think his name was Devil, one of Lucifer or something. That's what you are. You are alpha dog. Tell me. No man tell me nothing. I kill you. You say another word. Hold it, ma'am. Ma'am, don't you dare refer to me as ma'am. I'm not gender specific. You know, they're getting rid of all that. Intergender specificity in the Bible. Don't refer to God as a father. Don't refer to people when they come to your school as mother or father, because that's offensive to those that are married to the same gender. So we're going to eliminate mother and father in the school books in kindergarten. It's just parents. You can't use mother, father, husband, and wife. No, that's gender specific. We got to read it. That's the devil's mind. The devil's mind had to forge out that perverted image within first for the human race to accept it. You see how long he took to forge the image out first? And now he's coming with what he's really after? No gender specificity. I want you to be asexual. I want you to be somebody that just has sex, but not with any specific gender. This thing here is crazy. And the devil took generations, decades. He was patiently forging out this image. And now he believes he's got pay dirt. I got him. I got the image of myself in them, which is the image of a sodomite. And now I'm going to flex to raise up my sodomite kingdom. And I'll encounter no resistance. But the devil didn't plan on this. That God always got what? A remnant. Amen. While they've been following you, I've been meditating on the word day and night. I've been studying to show myself approved. I've been bathing myself in the Holy Ghost and praise and worship. While they were forging out the image by drinking down your movies, your books, your inputs, I've been in the word of God. So I got another image in me. So therefore, what's going to happen to me? Another spirit's going to fill me. But those who have that demonic image in them from the world, they've got what? Another Jesus. They'll receive another gospel because they have another spirit. That feel the image of the devil who creates a false Jesus in them. And the false Jesus is a sodomite prince. He's bisexual, transsexual, pansexual, crazy sexual, a weirdo. So we ordain homosexuals as ministers. You see what's happening? This the image inside. You bring the word to those people, they won't like you. They'll begin to question the validity of the word to justify what? Their sin and the image they bear out. The image within is talking back to you. That image is unclean and governed by an unclean spirit. Now we're going to unfold and reveal hidden mysteries today so you can understand exactly what's going on. You won't leave here today trying to guess and estimate about what you're fighting. You're going to know. What's happening to church folk? What's wrong with church folk? It's very, very significant. Look at Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Hey, stop bothering me, big boy. Big boy, tell them to stop bothering you. You're not bothering anybody. You're just living your life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 4. He says, thou shalt not make unto thee any what?
Graven image.
Or any what?
Likeness
of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath. You see how he went to image and likeness. He made man in his image and in his after his likeness. He says, don't make yourself any other image or likeness, because when you focus on that, guess what's going to happen? It's going to impart to you the image of what you meditated on. So when they built those golden calves and all those other false gods, as they worshiped them and meditated upon them, guess what happened? The spirit housed in the thing did what? Transferred. So all he's got to do is put a perverse spirit in Jay-Z and let Jay-Z rap to you all day. And as you put those earbuds in and walking around moving your hand to the beat, guess what's happening to you? You're experiencing what we call the amazing transference of spirits. He put the demon in Beyonce, let Beyonce booty bop in front of you for 30 minutes, and now what's in her is in your little four-year-old girl. Because you let her meditate upon it, and now the spirit in Beyonce, which is a perverse lesbian spirit, got into your little girl, and the school systems are ate up with lesbians now. These are masculine spirits. Whenever you see a whorish woman, you're looking at a masculine man in drag. Because it's not normal for a woman to look and act and carry herself as a whore. You're looking at somebody that's a masculine spirit in drag. Because even her demeanor and how she carries herself is not ladylike. She's looking to go out what? Slaying. A woman walking around slaying is a demure, feminine woman. I came in here as a slayer with a hatchet and a machete and all this stuff, walking in, slaying in some high heels. What's wrong with you? They're looking for an unstable soul, a man, to slay. What's going to happen? They're going to cut him up into pieces, cut off his testicles, emasculate him, effeminize him, fill him full of lust, and he'll be walking around a weak, emaciated drag, walking down the street with his pants pulled down to his knees, smoking a blunt, covered in tattoos with two earrings on, with plaits draped down his back. Because the whores siphoned out all of the life force. You don't understand, a man's semen is life force. If you just spill your semen into all these whores, they're taking the life out of you, and you're going to be left an empty hull of a man. And then the same slayers that slew the men are the same slayers that complain that there are no men. Wait a minute. A manslayer, you killed every man, you slew every man, you cut off everybody's testicles, and now you're talking about there are no men. Well, how many men did you lay down with? How many men did you have sex with? How many men did you destroy? You destroyed the man, and now you want a man, and there are no men. They won't commit. They're not disciplined. They're not fatherly. They're not husband material, because their throats have been slit by whorish manslayers. What were the manslayers after? The image of God in that man. The fatherly, patriarchal image of God, they were trying to eradicate it. They turned him into a soft, effeminate man. And you see, for the last 8 years in Washington, we've been under that. You change character to a guy that tells it like it is, and all the feminized people say, he's just so dictatorial, he's so mean, he's just so... Why? We've been effeminized for 8 years. With soft, effeminate, girly talk. With your legs crossed on the view, talking to Whoopi Goldberg, sipping coffee. And go somewhere. That's what we got. That's what's in the church. The church can't receive the real gospel. What's wrong with church folk? They've been effeminized by what the Bible calls catamites, effeminate men. Jesus came against them. He said, look, you want a catamite? You want an effeminate man? He's in king's palaces. He's got on soft clothes, soft remnant. That's what he was talking about. The catamite man is not reflective of the image of God assigned to men, which is the image of God the Father. That's what you got. When you're a child, your mother and father came together and created you. You bore the image of the Son, the third person of the Godhead. As you grew up, you diverted off in the father-mother role. You see, as you mature, you grow through the matriculation that makes you into the complete image of God, a threefold cord. You got all those attributes. Your mother and your father work on you, imparting some of the attributes from your mother and your father. And you grow up and you're assigned to your allotted slot in life as man or woman, but you've been worked on by both of those images, a father and a mother, to make you whole. So you're not foreign in your own body. You feel normal as a man in a man's body. But when you're a woman in a man's body, and you're trying to act like a woman, notice how homosexuals are always extreme in their presentations of what they think is femininity. They walk too hard. They try too hard. They just, everything's an extreme, over-exaggerated everything. Because you have no business trying to act like what you think a woman is while you're assigned to a man's body. It's the image the devil is after. God says in Exodus 20, verse 4, don't make any images, anything of any likeness in heaven or on the earth, or that is under the earth. Don't bow down to it, he says in verse 5. You shall not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, letting you know that idolatry equals hatred of God. If you worship anything other than the true and living God, God receives that as hatred of him, and he visits the curse on your children to the third and fourth generation because you hate him. You can't see the things coming down the bloodlines because of idolatry. That's why you need to be what? Born again. Come out from under the curse by being born again to get the reestablishment of the image of the living God in you to eradicate the curse. Let's take a quick ride through Deuteronomy. Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 29. You know, Deuteronomy is the cursing and blessing book. If you want to be cursed and understand where the curses come from, read Deuteronomy. If you want to understand how to be blessed, read Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 29, look at this. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land. The great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord have not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear. Unto this day, you still don't understand him. And you saw all of this, but inwardly you still don't understand him. Now I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God. And when you came unto this place, Sion, the king of Heshon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half tribe of Manasseh. Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Keep the words of the covenant that you will prosper in all that you do. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers with all the men of Israel. Your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in the camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water. That you should enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God makes with thee this day, that he may establish you today for a people unto himself, and that you may be unto thee a God, and that he may be unto you a God, as he hath said unto thee, and as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that stands here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. For you know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we came through the nations which you passed by, and you have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away this day from the Lord our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood. The New Testament calls that a root of bitterness, and many be defiled. And it came to pass, when he hears the word of this curse, that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the what? Images produce imaginations. Images exude imaginations. That's why you get imaginations in you, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that must be cast down. It's something in you that's stimulating false imaginations. False images exude false imaginations because the entities living in the image are interfering with your thinking processes. That's why you got to cast down anything that rises up against the knowledge of God, because these are always are inspired by these elements that are foreign and demonic. They're warring in your mind, trying to make you think contrary thoughts to what God says.